Today on Rockin' the Suburbs,
one of our listeners talks up a band that we can really connect with.
Oh yeah? What band is that?
Simple Minds.
Bam. That's gold, Jerry.
Okay, Patrick, with all the time at home, one thing I've had a chance to do is finally sort through some of this great correspondence we get from listeners that intern Matt is so great at organizing, and I'm so bad at actually reading. But I finally got a chance to go through some of this stuff, and today's episode, we're going to address some listener correspondence from an episode we did back in, like, early January, I think it was. It was January 3rd, and it was with Barrett Reese, and it was on bands we broke up with. So the idea being like bands that people used to like, but at some point they just sort of, you know, put out a record that made us, you know, made people lose interest or that sort of thing, right?
Yeah,
do I have that right?
Totally, I think that's right. Yeah, or you know, I think it's like any relationship. You run into them accidentally later, and you're like, why was I ever mad at you?
Either they put on something at some point that made you lose interest, or just for whatever reason, your tastes changed, and you just, you know, didn't find them as appealing as you got older or whatever. So for whatever reason, bands you broke up with. And of course, this prompted a lot of discussion, as you can imagine. We have a few different pieces of correspondence to go through here, and and also intern Matt Windler is joining us on this episode as well. So hello, Matt.
It's good to be here.
He's opened a what is that?
It's a steam whistle.
Oh wow,
nice.
Yeah,
that looks substantial.
That looks really good.
Yeah, well, they sell it's all tall cans here. Yeah, it's a Pilsner.
Very good. One question I have for you, Matt, as our correspondence intern, and, you know, like we mentioned, God love you for doing this, and I think there's a special place for you in rocking the suburbs afterlife.
That's why I'm doing it.
Yeah, how about
it's the only reason.
I don't want to say that. How about the podcast Ring of Honor? Let's just say that.
Oh, that sounds good, too. Yes. Yeah. One thing I wanted to ask you, Matt, is how do you collect correspondence from people who stick their head out the window and yell? Like, have you actually gotten any of those?
Much like the flaming arrows that you've also suggested, those just sort of end up in the void. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
Those are our two, if you look at the stats, the two least used forms of correspondence.
Yeah.
Yelling and flaming arrow.
We encourage it.
But a lot. Yeah. But I don't know. Yeah.
Oh, by the way, let's introduce ourselves. This is Rockin' the Suburbs, and I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
And I'm Matt Windler.
Another question, Matt, is you pre-screen all the calls we get too, right? Like, you actually listen to them. You don't just log it in like somebody called such a day and time.
Yeah, but pretty much the only one I'll throw out is like a pocket dial. If somebody says something, then you guys see it too, usually.
So I bring this up because you are the first set of ears who gets to hear Echo Park Jimmy when he calls in.
Yes. Yeah, that's great because it shows up in the feed. It's just telephone numbers, right? For the most part, you don't know who it is. But if it's like 5 to, say, 12 of the same number all in a row, you know it's CPJ. Yeah.
That's great. He hasn't called in a while, though.
No, he's been quiet.
Yeah.
I miss him.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So you hear that? EPJ, Matt misses you. Let's get to this topic at hand. This is a follow-up to an episode, as I mentioned, from January 3rd, bands we broke up with. And I'm going to start here with a Facebook comment from Nick Arndt, A-R-N-D-T. He said, I'd say those bands I broke up with, they started with an edge and then they got too poppy, like Maroon 5. He says, Maroon 5, the first couple of albums were decent, and now they are unlistenable. Same with Coldplay and The Killers. Also bands like Arctic Monkeys, Green Day, and yes, Red Hot Chili Peppers. I liked, but I'm kind of over them now. I even liked Imagine Dragons at first. Now I can't even, is what he says. So any of those bands stand out to you?
I'll say this. I have seen Imagine Dragons while taking, I think I drew the short straw and had to take Gigi and all her friends to the concert venue that shall not be named.
Okay.
And they weren't that bad. But I can kind of see where Nick is coming from, because immediately when I heard that list of bands, there's one group I thought of, Jim, and you know who that is. And people are going to hate me for this. People are going to get upset. But you too. To me, like, they had a certain raw, you know, we talked about this, they have a certain rawness. The Edge actually played the guitar instead of just like a lot of chiming harmonics. Yeah. And then at a certain point, it was more like atmospheric and sort of a show more than actual, you know, a rock band. And that was the thing that came to my mind.
Yeah. We have some U2 correspondence coming up here.
Oh, good.
So just wait. I think that's a band that I think this dynamic happened to a lot of listeners. Mm. That was an awkwardly worded sentence, but you get what I'm saying. The interesting one that caught my attention in Nick's note here was Arctic Monkeys.
Yeah.
Because I had always really, really liked them. That actually was one of my favorite bands of the, you know, of this, you know, young century, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that first album was just like a shot. It was awesome.
Totally.
They had some other good albums, and then they put out AM, which I thought was really, like, you know, just a tremendous record overall. And then their most recent one, I just really, really couldn't stand it. So I don't know. Yeah, I'm not gonna say I broke up with them, because I'm hoping that they can turn it around again. You know, one misstep shouldn't taint their whole career. And I still like their earlier stuff, but man, I really didn't like that record. So
yeah. And you know, thinking about it too, the Killers, they made one great flashy, showy, you know, sort of Roxy glam, you know, hard rock record. And then I couldn't get into anything they did after that first one, man. Couldn't do it.
Matt, is there any band that you know liked at one point and you really don't care for anymore?
I don't know. I mean, I really haven't listened to the new Killer stuff either. I liked Hot Fuzz quite a bit. And they did start taking a lot of different turns. But I would still give it a chance. But yeah, I think once a band sort of settles on a sound too much is when I usually check out.
Yeah, that's a good point too.
If it sort of feels like they're recycling the same thing over and over.
Yeah. That's a good point too. So sometimes it's not that they change their sound. Sometimes it's just that they are just wearing the sound sort of into the ground. Right?
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. Agree.
You'll like this, Patrick, but you're going to have to refresh my memory on the conversation. At some point we talked about Wire in this. What was the context of Wire? You were saying
they
that
had a new song. And I picked it for new music. So,
okay. But Wire's not a band that you broke up with. I think what you were saying there was that you kind of like they kind of fell off your radar for a while, and then you realized they were still putting out some great records that you hadn't given a chance, I think, was what you were saying.
And I think, you know, also the fact that their classic incarnation was so perfect to me, like they never did a single thing wrong and like every song was perfect, and they were kind of my ideal band, that I couldn't get my head around the idea that 5 years later, they could get back together with the same guys and still make relevant music, which really makes me look like an idiot.
Well, I'm always a little dubious of like comebacks as well. So I understand that.
But then later I went back and was like, why was I such an idiot? This stuff is amazing. Yeah, okay. You know, and have loved everything since then.
So Jay Ignacio says, yes, the ideal copy.
Mm.
He said that was
the one I had the problem with. Yeah.
He said that was my introduction to Wire. Then I worked my way back through their earlier stuff and I loved it all. The Kidney Bingos phase was fun too. I wish Pink Flag, their current record label, would re-release their Mute label records.
Yes.
And then he says, anyway, here's my favorite Wire song. And I'm going to share this. I'm going to try to play this for you guys.
Fabulous.
Do you rotate any or spin? Are you game? One trick. they bounce or tick? What's touch? Are you correct? Do you beat or bend or stretch? We're milling through the grinder, grinding through the mill. If this is not an exercise, could it be a... drill! With you, what's your form? Your outline shape or form? How's your price? What do you cost? Your value, profit or loss? How's your skull? Does it fit? Is your mind...
All right, that is Drill from The Ideal Copy.
That music means a lot to me, Jim. And you know, it's interesting in retrospect. It sounds even like more, I don't know, you know, like early gothy, you know, more like Joy Division and more like, you know, earlier stuff than it does 80s. So yeah, great point by Jay.
Very cool. All right. Mark Neese said, I think I have a codependent relationship with REM and especially U2. The love was great in the early years of the relationship, but then beginning in the 90s, REM and especially U2 broke my heart as often as they warmed it. Yet I can't end the relationships. I feel too much attachment. But despite all rationality, I stick with U2 despite them not releasing an album I've liked since 2004. Mm. So there you go.
Well said.
Yeah.
I find that funny because I discovered REM like their second last album, right? So... it's I'm not sick of their mid stuff. I didn't get, you know, those songs sort of beaten into my brain like you guys have, where they took a turn you didn't like, but then that's when they blew up and you heard it everywhere.
Oh, I
like mid period REM.
I think that's cool. I think their last two albums were really quite strong, though. Mm-hmm. So that might have been a good entry point. Okay, but you'll find this interesting too, Patrick. Mark Neese then goes on to say, I had a passionate love affair with Sonic Youth until 1994's experimental jet set. What was it? He didn't write the whole thing here. I forget what it was called.
Trash. No Star and Trash.
Yeah, Trash,
like
No Star.
Yeah.
Okay. He said, I disliked that at the time and I broke up with Sonic Youth. Though I did years later buy 1995's Washing Machine and I enjoyed it. I have heard that Sonic Youth had put out good music after the mid-90s, but I haven't been inspired to investigate it, so maybe I'm missing out. This might be an it's not you, it's me breakup scenario.
Yeah, that might be right. you know, later in their career, they did a lot of experimental stuff, you know, even added a member to the band and, you know, messed around with stuff. And there was a lot of personal dynamics obviously going on within the group as well.
They put out a lot of records. Did you stick with them to the end?
Yeah, I bought everything they put out. Okay. Always will. Love that band. I don't think that, you know, those guys made very many missteps at all.
Yeah. Okay. Now this is interesting. Kurt Gallagher says, two I've broken up with off the top of my head are Patti Smith and The Doors. He said, I suppose I had a little more patience for stream of consciousness poetry when I was younger. I remember lots of late nights with various substances, listening to that stuff and trying to turn friends onto it. Hmm. You may disagree, but at one point a few years later, I thought to myself, wow, Patti Smith is a terrible singer and I never look back. And then he says, with The Doors, it was when the Lester Bangs character in Almost Famous called Jim Morrison a drunken buffoon that I realized I was in total agreement.
Wow, that's a great email. I don't know. I think maybe in both cases, you could make an argument that they were more influential and important at the time than now. Mm-hmm. Like their, you know, their catalog was super important and super influential at the time, but people absorbed that maybe and moved on. I don't know.
Yeah,
that could be one view. I don't I don't know if I necessarily...
Like, you had to be there kind of thing, maybe?
Yeah, a little bit. Because certainly Patti Smith was incredibly influential in that scene, you know, that spawned New York punk rock.
So. Yeah. All right. Vasant Ramamurthy says he broke up with the Flaming Lips. He said, I love their early and mid-period noisy psych pop records, as well as the Soft Bulletin. After that, the weirdo hippie child puppets and balloon shtick started to wear thin, and I haven't listened to a record of theirs since 2002.
Wow. Very interesting.
Randall Brown will be upset to hear that.
Cover your ears, Randall.
Yes.
Maybe we should have said that before you read the...
that would have helped. Rick Anderson said there's a lot of bands he's broken up with. He said, sooner or later, I break up with almost all of them. Man, he's a heartbreaker. He said, usually you can kind of see it coming. I really like the gritty kind of rock and roll Kings of Leon did on their first two records, but I could tell with Because of the Times that we were almost done. Can you break up with an entire subgenre? He then asks. I've got some pretty valuable metal albums, and I can't imagine ever wanting to listen to them again. The older I get, I can't read. The older I get, the dumber I seem to think it gets.
That's interesting. Well, that's a great point. Like, you know, maybe at one point in your life, you had friends that were all into a certain kind of music and it was important to you. And, you know, you were into it then and maybe you move on.
Like maybe you know, to it. Like maybe you were meant to outgrow Kiss at some point and it just didn't happen.
All right. That's it.
All right. We lost Patrick. It's just me and Matt now.
But that's fair. I mean, if something makes you feel like a teenager, but you know, you're not a teenager anymore,
right,
then maybe it just doesn't do it for you anymore.
It's interesting. Yeah. The whole genre question is kind of interesting, too, depending on how deeply we want to break down those genres.
All right. Well, that's a question for another time.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Here's the last one from Gerald Jasinski of Mississauga, Ontario. He mentions Simple Minds. I guess we talked about Simple Minds then. I can't remember. It's been
Might have been long.
I think so.
Yeah.
He said, Simple Minds, how many fans jumped ship at Don't You Forget About Me?
Yeah,
He said,
totally
not.
True.
He says, then, not me. This was the start of the second part of their career that I call America We Are Coming. This is my least favorite part of their career. With the release of Once Upon a Time, they were as big as U2. The difference is they followed up with Street Fighting Years and U2 put out something called the Joshua Tree. two more albums in this phase were progressively worse when the band decided to be themselves, starting stage three with 98's Neapolis. And that phase continues to this day. But I urge you to check out the 2018 release Walk Between Worlds, which actually hit top 10 in the UK. Simple Minds put out one of my favorite albums ever and my favorite song, New Gold Dream, from the pre-Don't You phase.
Yep.
So there you go.
That's a great, you know, band and great concept that Gerald brings up because, man, once Don't You Forget About Me came out, I was so done with the Simple Minds. Like, I did not want to know about it, you know. I thought they were kind of like these new romantic, you know, poetic kind of heroes. And in some ways, and this is for another show too, some of the lyrics written there in that early stuff are very Lloyd Cole-like in some ways. They're poetic and like visionary and romantic and stuff like that. And of course, the lead singer of Simple Minds went on to marry Chrissy Hynde, Jim.
Yes, Jim Kerr, was that his name?
That's right, Jim Kerr.
Yes, so Chrissy Hynde has been married to the singers of Simple Minds and the Kinks.
She might have a type. I don't want to get into that either.
Yeah. I'm not familiar with the song New Gold Dream.
It's a great song.
We'll play out with that. How about that?
Yep.
Okay. Any other thoughts? Any other bands you guys have broken up with?
I try not to, you know, I try to always stay friends if possible. You don't want to burn that bridge. Gosh, I don't know. I don't know. Did you ever like Smashing Pumpkins, Jim?
Yes, and that's a good example because I still to this day like that album they put out called Gish, which was on.
And that's pretty good.
That was an indie record before they went to major label, and I like that one. Mm-hmm. And I like a couple of those major label releases But the interesting thing about the interesting thing about Smashing Pumpkins is they seem to really just, Billy Corgan just seemed to really lose any kind of like sense of like his career or his music or anything. Yeah. It's like he seemed to be flailing for the last 25 years or so. I don't know. And that actually can be kind of off-putting, and it makes you sort of like reevaluate even the stuff you liked before, because you're like, this guy's kind of a nut, right?
Yeah, he kind of went psycho.
Yeah.
I think with Smashing Pumpkins and me, I think we just hooked up one night over 1979. We both, you know, were later like, let's not talk about it.
That's a good pop song, but I think I've heard it too much. Good.
Yeah.
If you listen to like any of the, like the Sirius XM stations that play any kind of like
play it all the time.
90 stuff, it's like all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. Love that guitar sound on that record, though.
I was going to say, grunge as a whole, you know, it had its moment, but like, I couldn't tell you the last Pearl Jam album I've listened to.
Yeah.
That's a great shout, man. Yeah.
Some of those, like, I'll throw out another one, Alice in Chains. I think it sounds super dated today.
That's a great example. Yeah.
Okay, let's get out of here before we upset too many people.
That's right. This is taking a dark turn.
That's right. I'm going to just keep my mouth shut.
That's all right. I need more fan mail to keep my job.
All right. So
we've done it.
All the angry letters are addressed to Matt Windler.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's right. All right. The way people can send the mail is email rock@suburbspod.com. Find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram @suburbspod, or call. That's what we really want you to do. That's what Matt really wants you to do. He likes to hear your voice, and then we play the voice on the show. The number is 612-440-1984. Yes. And if you call from Canada, you need the country code?
It still works. So, I mean, actually,
I don't think you do, right?
I mean, it goes to Minnesota. That's basically Canada.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, I don't think you do. We have such a great relationship, these two nations. Yeah. You don't even have to dial extra numbers.
It's cool.
We're both one plus, right? So.
Oh, is that how it? I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And thanks again, Matt, for all you do.
And my pleasure, guys.
We're going to hear some Simple Minds. It's Rock in the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And with us has been
Matt Windler.
All right. Thanks, Matt. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, Matt.
We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Genius.